All right, who knows what we talked about last week? It's true. It's accurate. Pennies. There we go. Pennies. We talked about pennies. The last week, the message was called Take the Pennies. It was a shiny penny. Take the Pennies. I'm going to recap a little bit if you weren't there because I'm going to talk about it. Again, I'm just going to preach the same message over and over till you, Josiah, quit procrastinating and learn the little things. I'm just kidding, but seriously. Hey, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So take the pennies. There was this story that I told last week about a wealthy man, it was me, who was on his deathbed. That's how I broke the news to you guys. Who had two twin sons. Well, just twin sons. Two sons. They were twins. Had twin sons. And at the end, the end of his life, he wanted to give them something financially. And they gave him a lot of love and wisdom and knowledge throughout their lives. But he wanted to leave them with some kind of inheritance. So he gives them options. He gives them a choice. He had $1 million in one hand. And he had a penny. In the other hand, it was a shiny penny, Micah. It's clever also because it's called Take the Pennies. But it was the penny or the million. And this is the difference. He said, if you choose the penny, it will double every day until your birthday. And their birthday was in 31 days. So for a month, every day, the penny would double. Right? And at the end, you would get whatever that total was. So the one brother instantly knew what he wanted, didn't think about it, and took $1 million. The other brother thought about it, knew that the father was trying to teach him something. And so he was up all night thinking about it, and he came back and he took the penny. Well, the brother that took $1 million went out and started getting people around him, financial officers that knew how to make these kind of investments and decisions for him, and said, make me a lot of money. Basically, here's $1 million. And so he comes at the end of it with just under $1 million. I'm shortening this story. Just under $1 million, right? And then the son that came and took the penny came back with $10 million, right? Do the math. Go ahead. Take the time to do it, right? It's taken a while for that money to build up, but eventually, 2 to the 31st power, is that accurate? Yep. Go ahead. Do the math real quick. Homeschool. There we go. I got a calculator. Anybody can use a calculator. Does that work? Yeah, I don't think that works. Good try, though. So here's the deal. It comes out over $10 million. So in the point of this that the father was trying to teach the sons, was that there's something that you can gain that can't be given to you, and that was wisdom. And the one son gained wisdom out of this. And we talked about last week about the kingdom of heaven is like pennies. It's like taking the pennies, right? Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a seed, a mustard seed, right? And you sprout that, or you put that seed in the ground, you start watering it every day, and then it becomes this big, large tree. And talked about how the kingdom of heaven is about seeds. It's about the pennies. It's about the small things that we do day to day. It's not about the big picture, the great miracles that we do, right? And God does those things along the way, and he gives us promises and he gives us rewards, but it's not about those promises. It's not about the rewards. It's about the pennies. It's about the day to day. It's about trading the little things. It's about giving up the little things, right? And I think this was so profound to me. And just the way that I live my life of thinking every day, day to day, that you take the pennies. You invest in the small things. You make little decisions that lead you towards something big, right? If we fixate only on the millions and we just wait for $1 million to come, it doesn't happen. But when we plant the seeds, when we take the pennies every day and we let it multiply, it becomes the millions. Our job is to take the pennies and trust God for the millions. And I want to go deeper in that today and remember about taking the pennies, what it looks like to do the small things in life, what it looks like as a Christian, as a believer, to live in the day, in the moment, not just waiting for something great to happen, but every day leading towards something great to happen. You with me? With me, homies? Luke 10. I just lost you. Luke 10:25. None of you are turning to your Bibles. Come on. Get your word. Luke 10:25-37. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus. Say uh-oh. Stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, take the pennies. Just kidding. That's not in there. Anybody? No, you did the math wrong. What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? I love how he says that. How do you read it? Jesus knows what the law of Moses says. He's Jesus, right? He's the co-author of the Old Testament, the New Testament. Right? What do you read it to be? How do you interpret it, in other words? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. But the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Amanda? Who's Amanda? Oh, Linda. It's like Amanda. I don't know what happened. Who's my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. Oh, no. They stripped him of his clothes. That's weird. And then beat him up and left him half dead. Apparently naked, beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. That's not very nice. Then a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. He also passed by on the other side. And then there was a despised Samaritan that came along, and he saw the man. He felt compassion for him. So going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. That doesn't sound very soothing to pour some wine in there. Just take that. That'll feel good. I think you should try it. Yep. It's got to work. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time that I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Probably. That's a good answer. Good thing Jesus didn't ask you this. The man replied, the man who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you, God, for life, for eternity with you. God, we thank you that you chose us and you've chosen to love us. God, we thank you that you're constantly showing us your love. And God, today I'm praying, Lord, that you would help us to grow in understanding of you and understanding of your love for us and our understanding of our love for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's a pretty sweet story we got here, right? This guy's, what's up, dude? What just happened? Feel bad later. Right, so we've got this story. This priest or this Pharisee is coming up to Jesus and he's asking him these questions. Now this Pharisee or this teacher of the law understands the Old Testament, or at least how they understood it in that time, and had basically it memorized. Right? They knew that Old Testament very, very well, very specifically. But they didn't understand it exactly the way it was meant to be. And that's why I love when Jesus says, now how do you read it? How do you interpret this to be? Kind of puts the question back on him. And the guy has the right answers at first. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, yes, that's accurate. But then he says, well, who's my neighbor? Who's the neighbor? Who's the person that I'm supposed to love? In other words, right? Who am I supposed to love? He's wanting to justify himself by finding out who he's supposed to love so he can say, oh yeah, I love my mom. I love my wife. I love my sister. I love that person, but probably not the rest. Right? And so he's trying to get to the bottom of it. He's trying to find out. And so Jesus draws him up this story. Now there's five different things that I want to highlight out of this story. Okay? And we're going to go right into it. The first part that I want to highlight is that love is about the pennies. If you're taking notes, if you're titling this message, it's called Pennies of Love. It's pretty clever, isn't it? Pennies of Love. All right? So the first thing that I want to highlight out of this is love is about the pennies. Now, when we look at this story, Jesus is highlighting this pretty drastic, dramatic story. Doesn't look like a small event. It's a pretty large event. Right? This guy is beaten up. He's stripped naked. He's nude on the side of the road, almost dead. Just wanted to paint a picture for you. That's pretty embarrassing, yeah. I'd be embarrassed laying naked on the floor. Right, so he paints this picture, and it looks like this pretty dramatic event. So when the Lord laid this passage on my heart, I was kind of confused because I knew I was speaking on loving small and the small things. But when you look at this, he paints this big dramatic picture, but he's answering the question of who is my neighbor? And he's also answering the question of what is love and how do you love? Jesus is talking about the day-to-day life. He's asking, who do I love? And he's painting him this picture. Now, he paints a picture in a way that they would understand and in places they would understand, a road that they knew that this actually did happen down this road. The bandits were in the woods. They were like up in the hills. And there was kind of a hidden area where they could come in. They could beat people up and take everything they had. Right? So it paints a picture that he understands. But he's not talking specifically about just one thing that happened. He's not saying you should only love a person when they're broken and beat up on the side of the road. Right? He's not saying that's the only time that you're to love people. He's answering the question, who's my neighbor? Who is the person that I'm called to love? See, Jesus is talking about the day-to-day. He's talking about the small actions that we make. And he highlights this Samaritan. Right? He picks three people. Two of them that should have loved this person because the person was a Jew that was beat up. The one was a priest who should have been the one to go and sacrifice himself, help him out. The other one was a temple assistant who you'd think also would probably do that. But then the third was the unlikely one. And he highlights this Samaritan, right? And he talks about the way that we're called to love. See, what the Samaritan did was the Samaritan stopped and he showed compassion. Everybody else just kind of walked on by. Even the ones that were expected to love this person just kept going. But the Samaritan, the one that was unexpected, was the one who stopped and acknowledged him. This is what we're called to do every day, is find somebody that's beaten up and bloodied and naked on the side of the road and love them. If that happens, sure. But we're called to love people in the little things, right? We're called to show compassion on a day-to-day. We're called to show mercy in the way this man showed mercy. We're called to stop. I think one of the greatest things that the Samaritan did was stop. There's power in stopping. I'm not telling you to stop doing homework. I'm not going to tell you to stop loving your parents. Stop listening to your parents. Stop going to school. Stop procrastinating. I am saying that one. Right? But there is power in stopping. We become so busy in our lives that we always have a mission. We always have something we want to accomplish. We always have something we want to get to or a place we want to be at. I'm convinced that the Samaritan had a purpose for walking down that road. And if he's like normal people, he probably didn't allow himself like, you know, an extra day worth of time planning and walking. Probably planned it to the time he needed to be somewhere. So he was probably on a schedule, had a plan and a purpose for walking. But one of the most important things that he did was he stopped. That's one of the most important things we can do as Christians and believers is stop and acknowledge somebody. Stop and see a situation. Stop and say hi to somebody. Hi. That's good. Good job. You're already listening. Right? It's in the small things that we do that show compassion. It's in the small things that we do every day to show mercy. It's in the small things where we stop and we acknowledge somebody. We smile at somebody in the hallway. Right? Sometimes that's all it takes to change somebody's mood. Change somebody's feelings and emotions that are going on. You don't know what's going on in other people's heads. Sometimes it just takes you looking at them. Give them a little wink. Smile. That's weird. Sometimes it just takes remembering somebody's name that you just met and telling them their name the next time you see them. But don't guess wrong, because then it does the opposite. Been there. What? You can't remember my name? It's Reed. It's the same as yours. It's a tough one. Right? There's power in the little things that we do, in the daily that we do. It's important to stop sometimes and acknowledge somebody. It's important to stop your busyness and see a need in someone else's life and to learn to trade your time for them, to invest in them, to take a penny, right? To plant a seed. Sometimes it just takes a small little gesture. I think a lot of times, and I highlight this because I think a lot of times we kind of forget the small things matter. We just think more big picture. I got to do something grand, something great, right? I got to love my kids. So once a year, I'm going to throw them a freaking awesome birthday party and not talk to them for the rest of the year. That's a good father, right? Once a year, you do something amazing and then ignore them the rest of your life. It's really big. It takes a lot of planning, right? It's not just about the big events. It's not just about the big ways that we love people. It's about the small little gestures that we miss opportunities of all the time because we're busy, because we're not thinking how important the little things are. Right? And this gesture that the Good Samaritan did was a pretty big gesture. But Jesus is trying to explain who he's called to love and how he's called to love. He's called to stop and to wait and to acknowledge somebody. He's called to love the people he wouldn't normally love. He's called to acknowledge somebody, to see them, to really look into them, to not look past them all the time. I get convicted of this all the time when I drive past homeless people. If any of you are like me, and I'll just be a little honest, I try not to make eye contact. Try and look away, read their sign, and then look away really quickly. Right? Anybody with me? Am I the only one? Guilty. Come on. We're all guilty. Okay, awkward stare is not what I'm talking about. But sometimes the smallest things that you do, just looking them in the eyes and smiling at them, can make the biggest impact. Because I guarantee most people don't look at them. Most people just look right past and don't say anything. Right? And we probably have friends or people in our school that are the same way. That people just walk by them every single day and don't even look them in the eyes. Right? Maybe because they dress different, because they look awkward, because they never brush their hair. It's all nappy and curly all the time, or it's all dirty, and we just don't want to look at them. Let's be honest. There's people like this that we all do this for. But sometimes the biggest gesture of love is the smallest little just look and smile. Sometimes it's just going up to somebody you wouldn't normally talk to and say, hey, I'm Reed. What's your name? Caleb. See, I remembered your name. Known him for a long time. It's not that cool. Right? It's the small things that make the biggest difference in somebody's life. It's about the pennies. It's about the small gestures. You know, a lot of times, yeah, it's James. It's not even close. Kidding. Right? Sometimes it's the smallest things that we skip doing because we're waiting for something big. I do this a lot because I think every conversation I have with somebody needs to be big and long and I would say meaningful, but mostly just long because I talk a lot. Right? And so I think, well, I don't have time to talk to this person. I don't have a couple hours. So then I just kind of push it to the side and I forget to communicate to that person. I forget to tell them that I'm thinking about them. Right? Sometimes it's just the smallest little text message that can be in the perfect time to just change somebody's attitude. I've had so many people that have done that for me, just text me and say, hey man, I'm thinking about you. How you doing? It was in like the perfect moment when I was really frustrated with something or really disappointed in myself. And it came at the right time. Sometimes it's the smallest little acts of love that make the biggest difference. If we can't learn how to love small, we're never going to love big. If we can't love people with just small little acts of affection, we'll never be able to love big. And see, I think that's part of what Jesus was trying to show. Because he was asking, how do we love? And what is love? And who is it, my neighbor? So he's talking about loving every day, every moment. And he's painting a picture of how he's supposed to love. Jesus wants us to love in the small things, in the small ways. And that love is going to multiply and that love is going to build up and people are going to know you for your love because every day you say something nice. You say something encouraging. You look straight at them and you compliment them. Right? People are going to know you for the way that you love consistently. Not if you just say one great thing once a year and blow them off the rest of their life. And people will probably just throw something at you when you walk away. The second thing I want to highlight is love is risky. Love is risky. Love takes risk. Love takes initiative. Love doesn't wait for somebody to love you and then respond. That's not true, genuine love. Right? That's not the agape love that Jesus talks about in the Bible. That's unconditional love. That's without conditions. That's without somebody loving you first. Love takes risks. And let me tell you something, risks are hard. Right? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how somebody's going to respond. Sometimes it's hard to do the little things to love somebody because you're fearful of how they're going to respond back. One of my goals just as a person, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a friend to people, is to tell guys that I love them. That sounds kind of weird and awkward maybe. But let me explain. See, I think it's built into our mentality as men that love or showing love or explaining love is a sign of weakness. That you're weak or you're kind of a sissy boy if you express your feelings, if you share love, if you tell people that you love them. Right? It's just kind of built into the nature of guys. Any guys with me? Two of them? Okay, cool. Oh, you can pull over here. Right, exactly. Don't cry. Don't show emotion, right? That's built in us. Be a man. Right? I've said this to people. I've felt this. People have said that to me, right? Sometimes we just need to be tough. But there's something that I believe that's wrong about our culture that is backwards in this. That it's not weak to show love. It's actually stronger than holding it from somebody, than from withholding your praise from somebody. And it takes a big risk because most people think and see it as weakness. So they just make fun of you. Every time I tell a guy I love him for the first time, they might tell me I'm gay. They might make fun of me. It's going to happen. But I'm willing to take that risk. I remember a time I was leading junior hires at a junior high camp. Yeah, you know where this is going. Right. And so I have a group of guys in my cabin. It was at a camp. And at the beginning, I tell them all, I haven't even met them really. And I start telling them that I love them. I'm like, dude, I love you. Just look them right in the eyes. Tell them, Caleb, I love you, dude. He started cringing like this. Started feeling really awkward. So I'm pretty sure he called me gay or something. Pushed me away a little bit and was like, dude, you're being weird. I was like, dude, I just love you. You need to know that. You need to know that I love you. And I told him there, and that was the first day I said, look, I'm going to keep telling you. And now by the end of this camp, you're going to say it back. And he goes, yeah, right. I go, you watch. So every day, man, I showed him love. I told him I loved him. And everybody else in the cabin started saying it back. And by the end of this camp, this kid was coming up to me. Reed, I love you, dude. I love you so much. And he would initiate it. Because I was willing to take a risk and say I love you and look him in the eye. And say, I love you, dude. Because love is worth taking a risk for. Love pushes through even when it's risky. Right? It's willing to say it to somebody. It's willing to show it to somebody and not know how they're going to respond. This good Samaritan was willing to put his reputation on the line in order to love this person. See, Jews and Samaritans weren't supposed to interact. Culturally, they hated each other. Right? And so his reputation is on the line if he's seen taking in a Samaritan or taking in a Jewish man and caring for him. But he was willing to take that risk. He also risked his life. There could have been the robbers still out there and the hills waiting to beat him up and take him. But he was willing to take that risk. Are you willing to take the risk to love somebody first? Not to wait for somebody to love you and then respond. That's easy. What's hard is going up to somebody first and showing love. When everybody else is making fun of somebody, you go up to them and you tell them something nice about them. Are you saying everybody makes fun of him? Right? It's being willing to say the hard things, to praise somebody when everybody else is making fun of people, to be the one on your team that's actually encouraging everybody else when everyone else is just making fun of them and saying, dude, you're terrible and trash talking them, right? You're pretty good at that part, Josiah. Right? But love, Josiah, love is willing to take that risk, right? It's willing to get made fun of, like Maggie is to me right now, right? It's willing to be risky. 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. John 13:34, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. See, Jesus says this is a new commandment, but really it was an old commandment. It's been around for a long time. But the new commandment that Jesus is saying is to love people the way that I have loved you. See, Jesus sets this stage, this expectation of what love is. He went after every disciple and grabbed them and said, come with me. He pursued every one of them. He loved each one of them first. The Bible says we know love because Jesus first loved us. That's what true love is knowing someone has loved you and cared for you. Love acts first. It takes initiative. It goes after people. You have to be willing to take that risk, though. Have to be willing to say something that other people might take the wrong way, might not appreciate, they might not respond, they might look at you weird. But are you willing to respond to people and love people first and not just wait for someone to love you? Anybody can love somebody back. True that. Matthew 5:43, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind to only your friends, how are you any different than anyone else? Even pagans do that, right? We're not just called to love people that love us. You are called to love people that love you. You are called to respond back in love. And sometimes that's hard enough, to love your parents when you disagree with the way that they are telling you to clean your room, right? Sometimes it's hard to love even your brothers and your sisters because they can annoy you and they're always there and they're always tapping on you and they're always looking at you. Right? It's hard sometimes to even love the people that love you. But Jesus says, I tell you, not only love the people that love you, but love the people that don't. How about you talk to me afterwards, Josiah? That sound good? This isn't really a give and take. You can talk later. It's my time for the mic. Right? Love. It's about loving those who don't love you. That good Samaritan loved a Jewish man who he was grown up culturally told to hate. But he saw him in love. He saw mercy when he saw him. He felt compassion for him. It's easy for you to love the people that are in your group that you already know care about you. It's easy. Might be difficult sometimes, but overall it's easy. It's hard to go after people that you take a big risk on because you don't know what they're going to say. You don't know how they're going to respond. Right? Last week I encouraged us and I said, if you met somebody new at your school every day, just one person, by the end of the year, you'd know the majority of your school by name. Right? How much influence can you gain in your school just by knowing people? Right? And just by every day acknowledging somebody that you know, you call them by name, say hi to them. Right? But there's this fear inside of us to go out to people and love people that might not reciprocate that love. Right? And that's a lot of times why we don't evangelize to people. We don't share the love of Christ to people because we're fearful of what they're going to do. Well, the Bible says that love casts out all fear. That love casts it out. There's no fear and love. And that true, genuine love is what should lead you to the way that you care for people. Jesus is explaining to this man that this is what true love is. Love goes after the Samaritans and the Jewish people, right? They didn't like each other. He said, love, that's your neighbor. Go after that person. He didn't even, when they asked him at the end, so who is the one that showed the most love? He didn't even say the Samaritan. He just said the guy that showed mercy. He probably couldn't even say Samaritan because he hated him so much. Right? Not Jesus. The Pharisee. Gosh. You are called not just to love the people that love you, but to go out of your way and love others. Right? To meet new people. Take small risks every day. Right? Do something simple to show an act of love. Don't pass by those little pennies. Pick them up. See an opportunity. See somebody by themselves. Go sit with them. Go introduce yourself. Get to know somebody else. Right? See the person that's getting picked on. Love them. Care for them. When you see a friend and you know something's wrong, but you're afraid to ask them because they might be mad at you, ask them anyways. Be willing to take a risk and to love people. To have genuine relationships. That's what true love is. That's what Jesus was talking about when he's telling about the Good Samaritan. Is the Good Samaritan loves first. He goes after people. He takes a risk. He's willing to put himself out there. Are you willing to take a risk to love somebody new? Are you willing to even take a risk in your own friendships and love somebody more? Care for them more than you care about yourself. It's about the pennies. It's about the small things that we do. And the fourth point, well, really the third point, I skipped one, but I said it. The third point that I want to take out of this is that Jesus was the ultimate example of the Good Samaritan. Jesus was the Good Samaritan. In every way, Jesus walked out that life. That he was the man that went after the people that were broken on the side of the road. He was the one who went after the lepers when nobody else would acknowledge him. He was the one that would go places and have conversations with people that everybody expected him not to, right? He sat down with the Samaritan woman at the well when everything in that culture said it was wrong for him to do that. He did it anyways. Jesus was the Good Samaritan and is the Good Samaritan. And he's done the same for you and for me. We were that broken person on the side of the road. At some time in your life, and maybe even now, you have been that broken man or woman laying on the side of the road, feeling helpless, feeling alone, feeling abandoned. And Jesus is that prime example of the Good Samaritan. See, I think he's trying to give the example of what this man was called to, but at the same time, he's also giving the example of himself, that Jesus was that Good Samaritan. That he does that in your life. And he does it through the small things, right? Jesus can do the miracles and does the miracles. Jesus can take your sin away, which is a huge miracle, right? But Jesus also moves in the small little details of your life. And you don't always acknowledge it or notice it, but you look back and you think, man, God was there the entire time. He was with me. And even when I was struggling in that time, he was using that as an example. He was redeeming me. He was with me in these moments. He was protecting me in this moment. He was comforting me in this moment. Jesus was that Good Samaritan and is that in our lives. And when we keep our mind on that, I think we start to remember the small things and the small little details of how we can love other people because he did that same thing for us. He loved us. And the last point I want to make is the last thing Jesus says. He says, go and do the same. We're called to go and to live the same way. You are called to be the Good Samaritan. What areas, simplistically, in your life can you be a Good Samaritan? I'm not saying, again, wait for this big thing to happen where then you go rescue somebody and you pull a bunch of people out of a burning building. That's awesome if that happens. But most likely, that's not going to happen. It's not about waiting for the millions. It's not about waiting for the tree just to sprout up in front of you. It's about planting the seeds. It's about taking the pennies. It's about the small things that you do to show love. And people remember that. They remember the way that you were because of the way that you love them consistently. Remember the way that you love them in the day to day. They remember the simple little text messages. They remember the times that you looked at them and you asked them how they were doing. They remember the times that everybody else just walked past, but you walked up to them. Be that Good Samaritan to the people around you. And don't pick favorites. Don't just pick the people that you already like. Anybody can love the people that love them. Start loving people. Start being the example of Christ. Go and make disciples. Go and invest your life into people. And remember, it's the seeds. It's the small things. It's the pennies of love that you take every day, that you give to somebody, that you care for somebody. Will you stand with me? Love small so that you can love big. Love in the small little things so that you can have a big, extensive love for people. If you don't learn to love small, you'll never learn to love big. If you can't love people in the day to day, you're never going to have the big, awesome miracles to happen, right? God still does that, but he wants you to live in the moment. He wants you to live in the day. He wants you to love in the little things that you do. So I want us to think about this week. Of what are some ways for us that we need to be loving people more, that we're not showing compassion, that we're not showing genuine love, that we're not looking into people's eyes and telling them that we love them because we're afraid they're going to be awkward or make us awkward or we're going to get made fun of. What are the areas that you can plant those seeds of love? Father, we thank you so much, God, that you are constantly and continually pursuing us, coming after us, showing us love. God, we thank you that you are the Good Samaritan that comes to us, that sees us in our brokenness, that sees us in our pride, that sees us in the areas that we are struggling in, and you still love us and you still show us mercy and compassion. God, help us to be like that to the people around us. God, I pray that you would challenge us this week, that we would learn to love people more. God, we wouldn't withhold our praise. God, we praise people anyways. God, we wouldn't be embarrassed of saying something nice to somebody and they making fun of us for it. God, we wouldn't be embarrassed to tell people that we love them. God, you would give us a boldness and a strength to love in the small areas and the small details of our lives. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give you the glory for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Be blessed. Love people this week, and the small little things show love. Amen. We'll see you next week.